Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One alive, one dead, one fictional. It's up to you who you choose, you pick them all. It's up to you who you choose, you pick them all. Who you having? Make it who you wish. This is your dinner party, and it's your guest list.
Hello, and welcome to episode 5 of Guest List with Jake Lambert, the podcast where I interview comedians to find out who would be their perfect dinner party guests. But they can only pick 3. One has to be alive, one has to be dead, and one has to be fictional. Now, this week we are joined by Sarah Keyworth. It's a very fun episode, I really enjoyed it. A couple of issues when it came to editing in that Sarah was very quiet, so I have had to turn her up and me down. So hopefully it sounds absolutely fine and you may have to turn it up more than usual. The reason I'm telling you this is the jingle, I hope, also is quiet. But I just don't want at any point for the jingles to come in and then for it to be so loud that it makes you angry at me. Because I can imagine that being the case. So just a warning and an apology in case that does happen. But it's a very fun episode. I enjoyed it. I do have a slight confession. I have once again failed to actually check any of my emails. If you do want to write in, I promise I do sometimes read them. It is guestlistwithjake@gmail.com and you can send in any correspondence if you agree or disagree with the choices we make, or if you want to join in with Pest List, which is where you can send in your idea for the worst possible dinner party guests. That is guestlistwithjake@gmail.com. But for now, please enjoy my conversation with Sarah Keyworth. So much easier to book a guest. Just to carry on doing this.
I mean, I love doing a podcast in person, though.
Oh, sorry. Are you hating this?
No, it's fine.
Do you want to come around?
I'd love to. Do you know what? I'd bloody love to.
Well, okay. This is a good segue into the podcast.
Let's bloody do it.
When life does come back to normal, Sarah, you can, of course, come over for a dinner party.
Yes.
I'm sure I'm one of your guests anyway, so that saves that. Making dreams come true.
You're the dead one.
What a way to find out. Imagine, do you throw dinner parties?
I have done. Yeah, no, I said that like, I was going to be like, I haven't in ages, but I don't need to tell you that.
Why is that then?
I mentioned it. I haven't thrown a good dinner party in a long time. Yes, I do. When I'm allowed, I do. And I like it. I enjoy a dinner party.
Even hosting?
I think I grew up, my parents like a dinner party. And I think I always found it really, really exciting when I was a kid and knew that they were having like friends over for food and stuff. It always felt very special.
It did, didn't it? That was such a nice feeling.
And they always put the sort of same music on in the house and stuff, so I have, there's music in my life that like reminds me of, oh, they're going to be here soon, and my parents sort of being like dressed up and candles lit and things like that. And I think like I always try and sort of recreate that vibe if I'm having people over for food.
The house is tidier than it's ever been, which I love. I mean, my people always comment on my parents' house anyway, it always looks like a showroom. My mum just is constantly, people, her friends would turn up sometimes unannounced and she'd be hoovering and they would assume that that she had seen them pull up and got the hoover out, but that was just what she was always doing. So the house was like there was candles out and then there'd be little snacks the raisins and the nuts and stuff would be out, the pretzels,
pretzels and like pistachios or something like that, and little bowls of crisps.
And often the rule was when the friends turn up, you've got to go away. But I'd almost love that. I'd be like, great, then I go and have some time on my own.
Yeah, you do whatever you want. You're sort of unsupervised. And,
yeah, that's and, it, yeah.
And it would be, I mean, because I was a little show-off as well, it would always be like, in some ways, being a budding comedian, it would be a little bit like, at some point during the evening, I'm going to pop my head in and show off a little bit. Pop down. That point where you're like, oh, I'm like going down to say goodnight, and you're like, okay, here we go.
Here we go.
Headline spot. how are we going to close this evening? Like, I think it's, thinking about it, I think like the sort of the customs of a dinner party are probably like inherited, aren't they? Like the way that I host dinner parties now as an adult are learned behaviours from what my parents did, what I saw them do. And even things like my mum like putting perfume on like just before people get there. That the like I can picture sort of the lighting setup of my parents' house and how they'd have it. And I just always, even though it's so weird because when you're a kid, you're literally talking about dinner parties that you were not invited to. Like, oh God, they were lovely evenings, weren't they?
Yeah, that's it as well. And I feel like I took that to university. So when I was at university, if we would have friends coming over for like pre-drinks, I would really start setting up the flat. And I realise now I'd almost get annoyed that my housemates hadn't put the washing up away or hadn't bought some snacks for people. And I was like, come on, people, it's showtime.
Yeah, we used to be like... house proud. Yeah, I love trying to find something that just elevates it to that next level of like, so a couple of Christmases ago, I was in like, I think it was like a Lidl with my parents, and you know what the middle of the Lidl aisle is like, because it's a classically done bit of material, it's the only place you can buy wellies and a cocktail shaker in the same space, but like,
Lovely for you to do a preview for us. This is so nice.
But like, I found this, it was just a hunk of plastic, but it was £5, and it's a mold, like an ice mold, where you can make a champagne bucket. It basically just makes a sleeve.
Oh, right, yeah.
But the idea is that you can put things in the ice, so like berries or like petals and stuff, and it just creates this like really cool looking, like it's just a hunk of ice, right? But you just put it in the day before, and then you can put your like bottle of white wine or your Prosecco or whatever in it. And it's genuinely, if I know that I'm having people over for dinner, that 2 days before I get really fucking buzzed for the ice sleeve. Because I'm like, nobody's going to see it coming. When I walk out with that, it's going to shock the shit out of everybody. And then it's such, one, it's a good talking point. And two, the rest of the evening, you just get to watch it melt.
I was going to say that. How long does it take to melt?
It's like a few hours. So over the course of the evening.
That's amazing. And then when it melts, you just sort of got petals now just sort of floating across the table.
Well, it comes with like a little stand and a bucket underneath. So you sit it on this thing and it drips into it. So
this is amazing.
It's really fun. And it's such a cheap novelty, but it looks quite classy in sort of a very silly way. And it feeds into everything I love, which is showing off alcohol and ice.
It sounds like I really love ice.
I love ice. I think it's a weird... it's a weird thing that seems to run in my family. Like we live with my cousin now, and he's gotten really into, instead of, he has like ice cube trays, and he really likes like novelty ice cube trays, you know, the ones where you can get just like massive fuck off ice cubes or whatever, or like but he's taken to just putting a big Tupperware full of water in the freezer, letting it freeze, so that when he is making a drink, he gets this big block of ice out and smacks it with a hammer, so that you're getting like big chunks of ice that he himself has knocked off a block, which is so stupidly unnecessary. But like the other day, like I'm where my room is, like I can, it's like the back door is just below my bedroom, and the other day I heard this like knocking, like banging, like it was like early evening, and I was like, fuck, Jack's got the ice out. And I like ran downstairs to join in. And I was like, that's very indicative of who we are.
It'd have been great if you were being burgled, and how confused would the burglar have been if you just ran out there so excited?
Don't do it without me.
Let's smash it.
I'm running with my own hammer.
I've always thought that about when you're being burgled. I mean, it's one of my biggest fears. And I assume crime in that sense has gone down because of lockdown. But obviously nighttime burglars...
You hope so, but then I don't know. Part of me wonders how much like career criminals will worry about social distancing.
That's true. And they probably wouldn't have done their tax returns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Them cleaning up on the self-employment scheme.
I would love to know where the line is between someone who's like, oh, the law is that I can't break into someone's house and take some stuff, but the government is currently advising for me to not be in somebody else's household. So
really asking for sympathy.
Do they disregard all of it, or like do they sort of, I don't know,
set up a Patreon and a Kofi, just like
yeah. My industry has been absolutely ruined by COVID-19.
Oh, it's such a big fear of mine, honestly. I don't know what I'd do. And I've often thought that, you know, maybe you could sort of pretend that you also a burglar and you'd got there first.
Yeah, do that thing where like someone tries a toilet door and someone's in. Oh, there's someone in here.
Give me a minute, mate. I can't lift everything. There'll be something left over.
This is engaged.
I actually... I had a nightmare last night because I'd seen a thing on Facebook where I used to live, which was, you know, these webcams people can have at their front doors now. Yeah. It was a woman had sort of buzzed to the door and they were talking to her through the webcam. She was pretending that her puppy had run away and the puppy was in the garden. So she was like, can I come into your garden? I think my puppy might be in there. And the woman was luckily was like, no, like go away. Obviously just realized it was a scam. And the woman went away, and apparently she was seeing that a few people's houses doing that. And then I saw it on Facebook a while ago. But then last night, I woke up in the night and just suddenly thought to myself, I think I would have let her in. I think if somebody knocked and be like, I'm looking for a puppy, I'd be like, oh my God, let's go and have a look. And I don't know what the plan is, whether there's people waiting in the garden for you or whether they're just seeing what's in the house and what to... I don't know what the plan was. But I kept thinking, oh my God, if she had come to me, I would have just let her in. I'd probably put the kettle on.
Yeah. You would have done.
At least I would have had hot water, I guess. I've got a weapon.
I think I'd have at least shut the door on her and gone and had a look in the garden myself. But that's sensible. If you're thinking like there's a puppy out there, you think you've got to move quickly, right? Like,
Yeah. Just
that would get me, to be honest.
So yeah, I'm putting out there as a warning for people: don't let them in. So, Sarah, as I try here for format and to sort of steer the ship,
hello.
You have your ice bucket prepared.
Ready.
You've organised that. The lighting is perfect. You've got the music that your parents would have had on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a knock at the door. And the first guest is your alive guest. And so enlighten us, Sarah, with who have you chosen?
So do I just tell you... Because I don't know why I had it in my head that you tried to guess.
I haven't told you that bit of format. I've made three predictions, but I'll leave those till the end.
Oh, do you? Okay, so I don't give you any clues or anything. You just do it.
I just do a bit of research, and so I'm writing them down now. But what I've said each time is it's in this gold envelope.
Oh, lovely. Love. Oh, God. Fantastic. So do I just tell you? I don't know why I had it in my head that you tried to guess.
I do. Sorry, I haven't told you that bit of format. I've made three predictions, but I'll leave those till the end. Yeah.
Okay. So I don't give you any clues or anything. You just do it based on.
Yeah. So I've just do a bit of research, and so it's in this gold envelope. I'll show you the gold envelope there.
Oh, lovely. Love. Oh, God. Okay, my first dinner party guest is my alive one. And on this particular occasion, I'd like to have at my dinner party Joanna Lumley.
Oh,
yeah,
it's a lovely shout. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could say it's an absolutely fabulous shout.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, it's true, and it is. It's absolutely fabulous.
Big fan of AbFab.
Big fan of AbFab. Big fan. I think what I would usually, I'd usually have a bit of Saunders in there. She's a go-to for me.
Oh, okay, yeah, comedy hero.
Comedy hero for sure. But I was thinking about it, and as much as I'd love to have a chat with Jennifer Saunders, I actually think, I bet Lumley has got some fucking great stories.
About the Gurkhas?
Yeah, definitely. I think she's done a lot of travel shows, she's been around a lot. I also think she's very soothing. And I like to think that, as much as I know that she's playing a character in AbFab, I like to think that there is a bit of Patsy Stone in her and that she would be a bit raucous.
Yeah, I imagine she's got exactly what you want at a dinner party. She's got some stories. And after a couple of glasses of her bubbly,
yes,
the ice has melted away.
Bolly.
And so is her guard. She's got the stories for you.
Yeah, I reckon she'd love my ice sleeve, and I think she'd make an effort as well. I think she'd turn up looking fantastic, which I know this sounds awful and makes me seem a bit snobby, but I think because of the way that I'm used to seeing dinner parties as a child, I really like getting dressed up, even though you're not going anywhere. I like it when people just put their nicest shit on, and like you just look good, and people turn up and they look good, and I just feel like Lumley would do that for me. I feel like she'd have a bit of perfume on, and she'd have given it a go. Does that make me sound like a snob?
No, I like it. I know what you mean. I'm trying to picture now what she's turning up in. I'm imagining some sort of faux animal print, but animal print.
Yeah. High heels, I reckon.
Yeah,
and she's quite tall anyway, so I like to think she'd have to even maybe duck as she came in the house.
You really pictured this.
I have, yeah. Oh God, it's, I can
are you,
see
are you
it.
In a, are you in a suit?
I'm in a suit. Yeah.
Burgundy.
It has to. It depends on the time of year, actually. Because. But then again, this is my dinner party, isn't it?
It could be any time you like.
Maybe a bit of a brighter colour if it was a summer, and I'd like to think it was a summer because maybe then I could open a back door, couldn't I?
Oh, you could do. Smash some ice.
We could start with a drink outside with Joanna Lumley because
that would be lovely.
I feel like
she'd
look good in a big pair of sunglasses as well.
Do you know what I was? I was thinking that when she turned up, I was thinking she's wearing a big pair of sunglasses. I also think she's somebody who, despite what people often say about when to turn up, I think she'd turn up early because she just couldn't wait to get things going.
I think she'd probably have a drink at home and think, fuck it, I'm leaving.
Yeah, and then one in the car on the way. She's not driving. She's in the back of the limo.
Yeah, of course she's come in a limo, yeah. This feels a little bit like I'm describing my perfect date with Joanna Lumley. In some ways I am. You're going to be like, who's your next guest? And I'm going to be like, there isn't one. There isn't one.
Have you met her?
No, I have not.
No.
I'd love to. I just think she seems really nice. Also, she does a really good sleep story.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, there's an app called Calm, and they have these sleep stories. And she does one about the elephants of Nepal.
Oh, very good.
And she's got such a lovely voice.
She does, yeah. Imagine, does she do a lot of voiceover? Is she an advert person?
Yeah, she does a lot of adverts. Yeah.
Right. Do you know
what
once?
Very distinctive, quite velvety voice.
Yeah. I was back at university, my girlfriend at the time did some babysitting, and she babysat for, I can't remember his name now. He was the director of, he directed the Tracy Beaker CBBC show.
Yeah.
And she couldn't do it one night, so I went and babysat. And I was sat there watching TV. I can't remember what I was watching, and the children were up in bed. And the phone rang. It went to voicemail, and it was Joanna Lumley leaving a voicemail about a script that she had read of his. Yeah, which, as far as I know, they never got made. But I think it was going to be her and Danny Dyer in this film.
Oh my God!
Yeah, it's the closest I've ever come to meeting her, I'm afraid.
That That sounds amazing. You should have answered the phone.
I wish, I really wish I had. Mm. I mean, but the strict instructions were don't answer the phone. And also look after the children. I think
that's first rule is don't answer the phone. The second rule is keep the children alive.
If they're alive when I get back, that'd be lovely. Yeah. But also,
if you can only manage one, don't answer the phone. That would make me really want to answer the phone.
Yes. I mean, well, I'll tell you what. I learned this the hard way. One of my best friends at school, my friend Tom, we were at his parents once. His dad was really lovely. And there was this, their alarm system in their house had like this sort of red, like rectangle line under it, which my friend said, whatever you do, don't press that. Mm. And I think it must have been the first time someone ever said that to me, it was really just right there in front of me, a big red button. And it didn't look like you could press it. It looked like it was a sort of a little garage door that you lifted up, like a borrower could live in it, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I pressed it to see if it was really a button, and the alarm in the house went off, and his dad was working from home. And honestly, I was I was scared. I was sorry. I was everything that, everything I was, it didn't matter, because what I had done was, I'd not done what I was told. I disturbed him at home. And I remember I went home and I was too scared to tell my parents what I'd done. So I must have texted Tom or called Tom for his dad's number or something, and called his dad and apologized again later, because I was absolutely livid with myself. So since then, I think that was my lesson, and I didn't answer the phone because of that. So Jeff helped me, if anything.
Yeah, that is good. That is good. I think it's honestly the worst thing when you were like, oh, that was entirely avoidable. There's so many beats in that moment where I could have chosen to behave differently.
To do what I was told, to not press the button, to put my index finger anywhere else.
But also, like, you've got absolutely, that could have done damage to something that could have.
Oh my God.
But also, I don't know why. No disrespect to your friend, but when I bring somebody into my home, I don't walk around and show them all the buttons and go, that's the one you can't press.
I don't know how old we were. I think we were probably about 13, but all I do know is he should have known me enough by then to go, if there's something that shouldn't be done in this house, don't tell Jake he shouldn't do that.
Yeah, because he'll do it, yeah.
If anything, it's Tom's fault.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
His second guest, Sarah, is a guest who is no longer with us. So please enlighten me and the listener. This isn't really how I do it, by the way. Who have you chosen for your dead guest?
My dead guest is... I'm sort of torn between two. But I think this would be quite fun with Joanna, is if I popped... Because what I quite like... at a dinner party, you like to have people that know each other, don't you?
Yeah. In fact, nothing worse than the opposite.
Yeah. When you're like, oh God, I've got a strain to kind of keep the vibe going. So I think actually it'd be really fun if Victoria Wood was there.
Lovely. The two of that, you're going to have, what a night.
Together. Yeah.
Oh.
Just similar thing, really fun, really funny, great stories. Like, they would have a laugh together, wouldn't they? I bet they've got stories about places they've been, parties they've been to.
Yes.
That I would want to hear about. I want to be part of that gang.
You're going to be part of that gang. Well, you're going to be part of the new wave gang.
Yeah, but I don't want the new wave gang. I want the old wave gang.
You want that old wave, which is why you are inviting them both here.
Yeah. I want Saunders. I want French. That's.
I want the 90s.
I want it to be French and Saunders in little brackets and Keyworth.
And Wood. Oh, that's so nice. Mm-hmm. I've heard from people who have met her and worked with her that apparently she was really shy.
Yeah.
Not good at eye contact, I've heard.
Well, that's the thing. That's why you don't, if you had it around for a dinner party, you'd want to make her feel safe, wouldn't you? And then you've got Lumley, who would sort of do a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of chatting, so that
I feel like
could settle in.
Yeah, Lumley's going to bring out the best in anybody.
Mm.
I reckon. And I mean, it's up to you. I don't know how you want to plan a dinner party, but if there's some way that you happen to have a piano lying around, it's probably going to help things.
Yeah, I'd say so. I wouldn't I? That would make sense.
You'd have missed a trick. If you had brought Victoria Wood back, haven't supplied her with a piano, I mean, she'd have every right to tell you where to go.
And I like the idea of getting him a bit drunk so that Lumley is lying on the piano whilst Victoria Wood is playing.
I mean, you could almost imagine that cigarette in hand, and she's laying there sprawled out, one leg
legs
up.
For days, legs. For
yeah.
Days. Yeah.
What's your favourite Victoria Wood show?
My favourite. Do you know what? I mean, I loved all of the like sitcom things that she was in, but she was just, for me, it was just her stand-up. The stuff that she did on her own on stage was just like completely unrivaled. She's just so, every move that she made was so funny. Just like, I think the closest we have to something like that, maybe a bit of a Milliken now, but like, there was just something and so unassuming about the way that she did her stand-up. It was so like, You could see it now. If she was a newcomer and she walked downstage, you'd be like, oh my Lord, okay, here we go.
Yes, this is somebody who's going to skyrocket.
Yeah, and I obviously never saw her live or anything like that, but I'm like, that would just be the most. Because all the scripted stuff that that gang did was incredible. They don't make comedy like that anymore. And even like Julie Walters being involved, I mean, she's so funny as well. God, basically, what's happening right now is that I'm planning my dinner party, knowing full well that what would happen is because you said to me you can have three guests, but I'm doing it sneakily so that basically what would happen is we'd get there and then we'd go, oh, do you know what? Should we just invite the rest of them round? I've found a loophole where I'm choosing people that are all sort of friendly.
So that this
party gets out of hand.
A couple of drinks in, they're on the phone. You've got to come over to Keyworth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're all here.
The back door's open. Just come in.
Victoria's got the piano going.
Is there enough chairs? Well, Joanna's on the piano. There's one spare.
Exactly.
We know that for sure.
So please don't worry. Julie can perch on the stool.
Oh, it's a lovely choice. I'll inform you, in case the listener is wondering why I haven't, that it's the second time that that Victoria Wood's been chosen.
Really? Who else?
Rosie Jones.
Always stepping on my toes is Jones.
Well, that's why I've got you on here to talk about it, because I think...
Well, well played, Jones. You got me again. You got me again, Jones.
Always there. She said to me, she goes, who have you got coming on the podcast? I said, I've got Keyworth coming on soon. She went, right, get me in there now. We'll record tomorrow.
Right then. Give me your predictions for Keyworth so I can say exactly what she's going
to
say.
Here's a question for you that I've not asked somebody on the podcast before, but I'll chuck it for you because we've got a repeat guest. If you could ask Victoria Wood one question, what would it be?
That's a very good question.
Thank you very much. You could ask her that.
You could ask yourself one question, what would it be? I think I'd ask her, I think it would have to be sort of career related or comedy related. Like it would maybe just be like, if you, like, knowing what she knew at the end of her career, if she could go back and do it all again, like, what would be like the one thing that she, not like in terms of learning, not in terms of like being a better stand-up or anything, but just like in terms of like making it more enjoyable for herself, like what if you could go back and do it all again, which particular thing would you savor the most?
Would you be able to answer it of yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose I could give it a whack now. Enjoying those, and I think today I'm really feeling it because I went for a walk with another comedian this morning, but enjoying the people who are enjoying the people that you meet who are just really great. Because you do, comedy industry is tricky and there are people that are difficult and stuff, and I think sometimes you can get bogged down, you can look at a bill and go, oh my god, I'm on with that person tonight, but like, we're doing a gig, and I think that would be the thing that I'm going to take forward after this and be like, I'm gonna do less of that thing where I'm like, I've done my gig and I'm gonna rush home.
Mm-hmm.
Watch more people. I'm gonna enjoy it. I'm gonna see if they want to have a drink afterwards.
Yes, be part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think exactly that. I often look at bills and I go, oh, that looks great fun. They're going to have a great time. And then I think, actually, no, when they're there, one of them's turning up late because they've been somewhere else. One of them's shooting off because they've got to go somewhere else. One of them's shooting off because they just want to go home. But sometimes you do get those brilliant nights. You know, you may be away at a glee together, or even in London, you may finish early and you have some drinks. But I do hope that happens more now. And I certainly am going to make an effort to just sort of make the night more of a night.
Yeah.
I've often said it before when I've been on tour with people, actually, that especially if we're just driving there ourselves, I've said, we've got to just give the day to the gig.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no point trying to get in too much. There's no point leaving as late as you can just so you can be at home more. It's like, we might as well just go and just experience it a lot more. We'll be more relaxed when we're there. We're going to have such much better time when we're there.
Mm-hmm.
And just sort of, yeah, I think it's a good one.
This is the thing we're doing today and we're doing it together. And that's like...
Yes, exactly.
The thing is, people talk about Edinburgh and they say it's really hard and it's exhausting and stuff. But the one of the biggest things that people say about Edinburgh is that they're like, it's so fun because you go out and you see people and you have drinks and you don't do that and you see people, and there's positives and negatives to it. But like, there's no reason why that can't be a Saturday night every so often.
Exactly, and that, yeah.
And it's just, I think that's the thing that I would try and, moving forward, savour more. It's just like enjoying the fact that I work with, for the most part, really like great people and different people each week. So it's not like, you're having the same conversations. You see, sometimes you see people and you don't see them for a couple of months and stuff. And like, I don't know, I mean, even pre-pandemic, I don't know when the last time I saw you was.
No, I know. I was thinking that about the last time we gigged together. And I honestly don't know when it would have been. And apart from that time we did the one in Piccadilly Circus. In fact, it had the piano there. It was downstairs in the piano room of some fancy... Is it like Zidell's or something? What's it called?
Oh, God, that must have been ages ago, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, Zidell's or something. I went on a date there once.
Like, oh, really?
Just after I moved to London. And I remember I got so wasted on that date. It was really like a real like debaucherous evening that I for ages afterwards was like, because I just moved to London, I was like, I've absolutely no idea what that, and we ate food as well because they do food there. I was like, I've absolutely no idea. I knew it was off of like Leicester Square or something, or Piccadilly.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've absolutely no idea what that place was, where it was, and I walked into that gig that we did, and I looked around and I went, shit, this is that
I remember that piano.
It must have been about 3 years after the date. It just suddenly all came back to me in like a weird flashback where I was like, that's that weird, because I remember going downstairs and sitting in this bizarre restaurant, like, where
yeah
Yeah.
And who was it? Was it Ed Gamble there?
I think he could have been, yeah. Andrea Hubert?
Oh, Andrea Hubert. It was Andrea Hubert. I think she was comparing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bizarre gig.
I think it was a bit shit, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that was. I think bizarre is a word I try to use when I don't want to open it now. It was awful.
It's like a cabaret style seating thing, and I just don't think it quite worked for comedy. But.
No, and it was often. It was. I say often. I was there once. It was the people there seemed to be people who'd just come from work.
Yeah.
And I felt like it was one of those gigs that had been heavily pushed on Groupon.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I nearly said that about the 99 Club, and then I thought... but we should have had a drink after that, is what I'm saying.
Exactly that. Next time, we're having a drink. Mm-hmm. Cut to a month after this is all over. I mean, you'll be messaging each other going, I reckon I could be home by 9 tonight.
Yeah. This is me. I haven't seen you in years. I'm like, I'm going to shoot off, mate. Have a good one.
Just enjoy. See you as we walk past each other onto stage. Yeah, have a good one. Yeah. Good to see you.
Don't even look at you in the eye.
We are Super 2. Love your choices. Third choice. People often say the most difficult of the three, which is the guest who is fictional. Could be anything, TV, film, books, your imagination.
I really feel like you can just get a sense of what kind of evening I'm after.
I might
as well have said the same answer for all three people at this stage, because I just realised that this character is essentially an amalgamation of all of the women I've been talking about. And in saying that, I wonder if you can guess who it is.
I mean, fair play. Is it a character from Absolutely Fabulous?
No, but she wouldn't. I don't think she'd like stick out.
Oh.
I feel like she could be from the world of Absolutely Fabulous in a sense.
I reckon when you tell me this is going to be such an obvious choice that I'm always going to be annoyed at myself for not getting it. Because, well, for one, thinking of the lot who are going to be there, I was thinking of Dawn French. But the only one I can think of is the Vicar of Dibley.
Yeah, I'll encourage you to move away from British comedy.
Oh.
And also more recent comedy.
Move towards recent
and move away from British, yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, default here, going to America. Am I correct?
Oh, are we doing it like yes, no? No, you're not correct. But you're not far.
Canada?
Correct.
We're going to a Canadian...
There's only one real option now, isn't there? If you know it, you'll know it. If you don't, you don't. You're blanking.
And unless there's a sitcom which I don't realise is set in Canada.
What is it? I'm really doubting myself. But it's definitely Canadian.
No, don't doubt me. I lived in Canada and I'm still got no idea what you're talking about. Oh, or do I?
You do.
Do you know who I was going to say, but it's not a character, but I was going to say, what's the American stand-up who is definitely sort of on, she's quite openly on medication. Now, this is just the two of us asking the other person to think of other people. And neither of us know it.
People listening to two people thinking hard. I don't know. I really don't know.
Maria Bamford. Maria Bamford, I was thinking of.
Yeah.
I was thinking of maybe a character she's played.
It's not Maria Bamford. Shall I tell you? I'm trying to think of clues I can give you. Because the thing is, I don't think the actor that plays this character is. I think she is American.
Right.
I could be wrong.
So this is a sitcom set in Canada.
Well, it's set in a fictional town. but the writers, it was created by Canadians, I think. I'm pretty confident it was
no, go on, show. Enlighten me and the poor listener.
Okay. Do you know what? I've just Googled it, and
she's Irish.
And she's Irish, yeah, and this is set in Ireland. But no, it's she's Canadian American actually. So.
Oh right. What does that mean? Mum was one, dad was the other, or the other way around.
Yeah, or, could be that.
Yeah, whatever it was. Both dads.
Yeah, that's how
there's so many options. Yeah. Oh god.
So it is my third fictional guest is Moira Rose from Schitt's Creek.
Oh, this is the show that everyone said you must watch it, and I have not watched it.
Yeah, that's why I said if you know it, you'll know it. If you don't,
yeah, very well played. People hate that I haven't seen it. Very well played.
I'm not mad at you about that because I've only just sort of in the last few months really got into.
Oh wow! And she's skyrocketed to your favourite fictional character. I love it. So, is this the daughter or the mum?
The mum.
Mom,
in terms
right.
of having a dinner party, I just think with the vibe as well. Also, it's very rare when you, I mean, it's not, I think it is actually, it's quite rare when we're watching a TV show and you're like, that there is literally nothing that person could do that wouldn't make me laugh.
Amazing.
The way that, and it's Catherine O'Hara, the way that she plays it, so funny, and you can tell that she has figured out this character to a point where, like, she just completely embodies it, and it's ridiculous. She's a ridiculous person, and it's just, yeah, I mean, I it took me a while to get into Schitt's Creek, and then suddenly I think that you're watching it and there's a point where you're like, oh, this is just truly wonderful. This is just such a...
Right. That's exactly what people say. There's a moment when it just clicks and you just go, this is the best show.
Mm-hmm. But honestly, it's one of those shows. And I don't think it was too controversial to say that if they hadn't written that character, if she hadn't been cast in it, if they didn't have the character of Moira Rose played by Catherine O'Hara, I don't think the show would be what it is today.
Oh, high praise.
Yeah.
And do you reckon, you were saying about watching her and how she sort of clicked in this sort of comedy character, do you reckon that would have in some way improved you as a comedian?
What do you mean?
Like, for example, you've said how you can see how the way she's sort of embodied this character. And obviously when we're on stage, there's a sort of sense of a character, a voice. Mm-hmm. Do you reckon you could see how that could help you? Because it's interesting that you've noticed it.
I guess it's a lesson in like fantastic writing, in the sense that like she's obviously just given wonderful material to work with.
Yeah.
And it's that combination, and obviously the director and everyone who's worked on it knows the voice of this character so well. And there's points where you're like, I just love to be on that set and watch that process, because she sort of has an indeterminate accent and just says the most absurd things, and she pronounces things in such bizarre ways, and you think, is that you? Is that your idea, or is that someone
right.
told you to do that? And I think it must just be a combination of things where you're like, oh, can you try it like this? And I want to know how many takes and how many different ways that she said things. And so yeah, I think it's more of a lesson comedically in like, yes, being like a better stand-up, but also like knowing how to like, I think it's a fantastic lesson in somebody having written a character to the full extent where you're like, this is exactly who this, and actually every character in that show is written so, they're all quite absurd, but you kind of know exactly what they would do in any situation and how they'd respond. And she would, I think she'd have a great time with Lumley and Wood.
Right, we have two more things which for any podcast to work, need a format. Two things. One of them is my predictions, which we'll go through, and then together we have to pick one of your guests that go forward towards the perfect dinner party, which I'm building and putting together, which you're also invited to. You'll be there.
Thanks. Is Jones going to be there?
Oh, I'm afraid so. I'll sit between Victoria Woods.
I want to sit on the opposite side of the table, and I want the ice sleeve between us, so that like gradually as the evening develops, I get to see more and more of Rosie's face. Slam down. Slam down, is that a word? Smack down.
Slam down. Smack down. That's for the Patreon. Right.
Me and Rosie Jones wrestling in mud. Check out that lovely podcast, but the Patreon stuff is just really quite misogynistic.
I did recently get I got described this week as wholesome from someone who listens to the podcast.
Yeah,
but then clearly they don't know what's coming.
They don't know that you're paying lesbians to wrestle in the mud again.
What the podcast has been building to. Right, my predictions for you, Sarah, mm-hmm. are for Alive. Mm-hmm. You went with Joanna Lumley, mm-hmm. and I went. Very close. Jennifer Saunders.
I wondered if you had.
So, I mean...
That's a really good guess. You've done your research.
I've done my research. I did some Googling.
I'd give you a tick for that.
Thank you. It's what I've been waiting to hear. So many times I've realised when editing this podcast that I will say something remotely close to who the person chose, and I'll go, mm-hmm. I'm giving myself half a point for that, and they just don't say anything. But thank you.
No, yeah, actually. You can have half a point.
Now, how much do you give me for this one? Your dead guest... You went for Victoria Woods.
Mm-hmm.
I went Victoria Woods.
No way.
Yeah. Really?
That you can have a full point for that.
I'm going to block out the third one and
I
show
can't
you there.
Read any if
you
of can. That.
Okay.
Yeah, that is incredible.
Fiction. I would say way off the mark. So much so that you probably could deduct a point. You went with, remind me of the character's name?
Moira Rose.
Moira Rose. I went for, and I'll be honest, not entirely sure why, but I went with, actually I am sure why, I'll tell you afterwards. I went with Woody from Toy Story.
That would really... change the dynamic of that evening, wouldn't it? Would it be Woody actually moving around, or because we're people, would he just lie there all day, all evening, waiting for us to leave the room?
Just really freaking out, Joanna Lumley and Victoria Woods. Just like, yeah, we will call our friends, but to come and pick us up. It was because after doing my research, I listened to you on Films to be Buried With, Brett Goldstein, and you talked about going to watch Toy Story 3 with your mum before you left for university.
Yeah.
And
I
love Woody. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Well, I did do Woody, and in fact, Rosie Jones chose Tom Hanks as her Alive. So, again, because to me, you're basically the same person.
Yeah, you're right. That's why you haven't asked us to wrestle in mud yet, because you thought that we were the same person.
It'd just be more confusing.
Yeah, exactly. Can't fight yourself, can you?
That's just a breakdown. So I went with Woody, which is nilpois. Mm-hmm. Now we choose. I will get you to help me with this, because I don't want to just go, thanks for your guess, I'm taking this one. You and I both now have to choose who we want to be at the ultimate dinner party.
Yeah.
Choice made slightly easier by the fact that Victoria Wood is already there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. As a spoiler for anybody who hasn't had the Rosie Jones episode, which, as we know, is definitely not you. She's already there. So we have between Moira Rose and Joanna Lumley. It's tough. Now, for me, obviously, it's slightly easier because I only know one of them.
Yeah, I mean, how often do people actually choose the fictional one? Because it feels like a real snub to not choose a... I'm going to go with Lumley.
I was hoping you'd say that.
Not so much. I just think she'd be a great vibe. I think she'd be an asset to any dinner party. I think Moira Rose could potentially steamroll it and draw attention to herself.
Right. And yes.
I think Lumley would be fantastic.
I think that as I said, not a fan of Schitt's Creek, not because I don't like it, because I haven't seen it. I do think it would be very hard to find, I think, a fictional character who would beat Joanna Lumley if you're thinking of dinner parties.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would say she'd even have stiff competition. She would give stiff competition to Gatsby. I imagine her ability to thrive at a dinner party, to be so great. To be
life and soul, absolutely.
In fact, now having thought about it so much, I realise that I don't feel like I've actually ever really been to a dinner party, because I've never been to a dinner party with Joanna Lumley.
Joanna Lumley, yeah. I feel like she's the kind of person who would, you'd find her sneaking into the kitchen, helping herself to things, like bringing a full bottle of wine to her seat at the table. And
yeah, I feel like after about 2 hours in, she's even bypassing the glass.
Yeah. And you know she's staying over, right? You make up a bed. Before the party starts, you make up a bed for Lumley, because you're like, there's no way she's getting in a taxi.
If she does get a taxi, you know that it's not the last ride of the taxi driver's shift. It's the first one of the day for the...
Yeah. I love the idea that you're ready, you're waiting for people to arrive, and then suddenly you think, shit, I've not done the bed for Lumley. I'm there in my suit, quickly making up a bed, putting the sheet, ringing the duvet out.
And then the following morning you come downstairs, she's just on the piano.
Yeah.
It's a lovely choice. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Jake. It's been a pleasure. I've had a lovely time.
It's lovely to catch up.
It's lovely to catch up with you too.
You can do a quick where people can find you. Sarah K. Yes. Comedy on the socials.
Sarah K. Comedy on Twitter. I think it's Sarah_Keyworth on the old Instagram. I have a radio show, BBC Radio 4, called Are You a Boy or a Girl? That's about it, isn't it, really?
That is it. And that was Sarah. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Remember, if you want to get in touch, it is guestlistwithjake@gmail.com. Also, I must say, I've been listening to other podcasts and I realised just how much they push the message of liking and subscribing and rating and sharing the podcast. So if you could do that, it would be very much appreciated. Also, I must say, I've seen a lot of people replying to people's tweets or Instagram posts about recommending podcasts, that a lot of you have been replying and recommending this one, which is so lovely. So if that is you, thank you very much. And I will see you all next week with another episode. Bye.